Kalvor Yevorko Yevokwinsurpo. Amen. Today is the feast of Elijah, the prophet, and it is unique in the Armenian Church because it is the only feast day that a saint is remembered on a Sunday. In the Armenian Church calendar, it's the only church calendar that moves. That means every year there's a different date. And this is why every year somebody asks me, when is the feast of St. Sarkis? And I say, I have to check. Because it always moves. It's never the same. And this is also true with the saints' days. The saints are always remembered on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, and Saturdays. But today, Elijah is remembered. And he's remembered because he never dies. If we know our story of Elijah, he is taken up into heaven in chariots. And so he never dies. But all the other saints are remembered on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And this coming week, three major saints are remembered in the Armenian Church. Tomorrow is the Feast of St. Hrepsimen. Tuesday is the Feast of St. Gaiamen. And Saturday is the Feast of St. Gregory the Illuminator, emerging from Korida, from the pit. So the question then is, why are these the first saints that are remembered in our church calendar after Easter? Because from Easter until today, they've all been what we call dominical days. Days that are dedicated to the Lord. They are not saints' days. There's no saint that is remembered from Holy Week up until today. So the question is, why are these the first saints? Why did our church fathers decide that these are the saints, Hrepsimen, Gaiamen, and Gregory the Illuminator, should be remembered first? And the answer is found in their story. We all hopefully know the story of St. Gregory the Illuminator. But if you don't know it, I'm going to tell you it now, so you learn it. It's definitely a soap opera, if you ever hear it. It's definitely worth writing and making a movie of. But St. Gregory the Illuminator and King Dirtat are cousins. They're first cousins. And their fathers are brothers. And Gregory's father, Anak, decides to kill his brother, Khosrow, who is the king. He goes and he kills him. And to save Gregory, Gregory is taken to Caesarea, to Caesarea, and is raised by a Christian woman. And his father, Anna, is met by an untimely death, and he also dies. Dirtat is also raised in Rome, and he comes back to rule Armenia. Years later, Gregory comes back to Armenia, and in order to pay for his father's deeds, to repent for his father's deeds, he decides to serve Dirtat in the court. And he is serving, and when Dirtat finds out who Gregory is, not only is he his father's murderer's son, but he's also a Christian, he decides he's going to torture him. And these are not little tortures that we think of today, where, oh, Amutkezi, you know, bad on you that you did this, I'm going to chastise you. These are horrific tortures. 13 or 14 tortures he's subjected to, including wood under the fingernails and toenails. Being burned with hot irons, and then even being turned upside down and having acid poured from the other end into him. All horrific, horrific things. And then he is thrown into Horvira, the pit, the dungeon, and he is left there to die. 14 years later, nuns fleeing from Roman persecution are coming to Armenia searching for safety. And as they come, one of their nuns, Hrepsimen, who is said to be beautiful, catches the eye of King Dirtat. And King Dirtat decides, I want her. And so he brings her to his palace, and one night he is about to rape her, but she is full of such strength of the Holy Spirit, he is not able to conquer her. So much so that he is embarrassed. King Dirtat, according to our historians, was one of the strongest men in Armenia at the time. That he would be riding on a horse, and when a horse would reach a wall or a something that the horse couldn't go over,
a fence
even. He would get off of the horse, pick the horse up, throw it over the fence, and then he would continue to go. Now, whether or not this really happened, that's for the movies to tell you when we make this movie one day. But that's not here or there. But the fact is, he is so strong that even this little girl could not be subdued by him, and that he is defeated by the Holy Spirit in this little girl. He orders that she, with her mother superior, Gaiane, and all the nuns, that they be killed, stoned to death. And if you go to Armenia, you can still find the stones that they were martyred with in Sufgaiane Church. When you go, so then they are killed, and then King Dirtat, when he's hunting one day, he goes crazy. He falls off his horse and goes crazy. They say he becomes like a wild boar. No one can control him. No one can heal him. And his sister, Fostrovitu, says, sees in a dream that there's only one person that can heal him. A guy named Gregory in a pit. 14 years earlier, she remembers, maybe she has heard of his name. So she goes to this pit and she yells out, "Gregory!" And he comes out. And he comes out of the pit and he heals, saying, he heals King Dirtak. He then baptizes him, and Armenia becomes the first Christian nation. I said that the answer to the story of why we have these three saints, Herepsimet, Gaiane, and Gregory, on the first week after the Easter season, the resurrection season, the answer is found in the story. And the answer is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Imagine the tortures that St. Gregory went through. Imagine being forgotten for 14 years, alone in a pit, left to die. And imagine, after all that, he has to come out and he is told, the person who tortured you and forgot you and ridiculed you and did all these horrible things to you now needs your help. It's very easy for Gregory, or any of us in that situation, to say, no, I'm not doing that. He can go to wherever I know he's going to go, and I'm done with him. I want nothing to do with him. But he didn't. But rather, he said, okay, I'm going to help. And he heals him, and he baptizes him, and he becomes one of the greatest saints in the Armenian Church and in the universal church. He's remembered by all the ancient churches, not just us, for what he did. To have forgiveness means we need to prepare our hearts for that. We need to cultivate our hearts so that the fruit of forgiveness can be born. So often, it is the hardest thing for us to do, is to forgive. So often, we think forgiveness means condoning what someone else has done to us. And I hear this all the time. I hear, oh, Dad, I can't forgive him because... And then they list the reasons. And the real reason underneath why that person is saying it is because they don't want to admit or accept and say, you know what, it's okay what you did. Forgiveness is not that. Forgiveness, in reality, is letting go of a grudge, letting go of hatred towards that person. If we don't, it becomes our life. So often, and many of us have had this experience, I'm sure, that when someone does something bad to us, we fixate on it, we focus on it, and it becomes our life. We're constantly thinking about it. We're constantly discussing it with our friends and our family. We're constantly living that, and that thing that person has done to us becomes us. Forgiveness is freeing us from all of that. It takes time, though, to forgive. It takes time. Sometimes if someone hits us, we can't forgive them right then and there. It's hard to do. Christ did it, but he's perfect. We are not, contrary to what you may believe. I am not perfect either. But we all are called to forgive, and it sometimes takes time. There's a story of a boy in a town who's hurt by his friend. And he's so upset with his friend, he says, you know what? I'm going to go to his house. I'm going to tell him what I think. And I'm going to make sure that he asks for forgiveness from me for what he did. And his grandfather overhears this conversation going on. And he says to his grandson, he says, son, don't go now. Give it some time, and eventually you'll be able to forgive him for what he did. And the boy says, forgive him. How can I forgive him for what he's done? He's done such a horrible thing to me, I can't ever forgive him. And the grandfather says, my son, sin, these mistakes that people do to you, are like dirt. When it's on you and it's fresh, it's wet, it's hard to get off. Because when you try to get that dirt off, you smear it and it gets deeper into your clothing. You can't get rid of it then. But if you give it time to dry, then when you do that, it just comes right off easily. This is what sin is like. This is what forgiveness is like. Forgiveness sometimes takes time, and it takes time for that thing that has been done to us to dry up so that we can easily flick it off and not have to worry about leaving a stain. As we begin in this next week to remember the saints of our church again after the resurrection, as we remember and commemorate St. Perepsimen, St. Gaianen, and St. Gregory the Illuminator, as examples of forgiveness, I ask that each of us look and re-examine our lives. What have we been holding back? Where have we not been forgiven? What relationships do we have that we still hold a grudge about? How can we forgive them? How can we wipe away that dirt? Has it dried? And if it isn't dry yet, how much longer does it need to dry? When we are finally able to remove that dirt from us, we can see the image and likeness of Christ in us and under that dirt, which may be on us, that dirt. But once we take it off and we look in the mirror again, we can see God looking back at us. That is my hope and my prayer. And in this next week, we find something that we haven't forgiven, someone we haven't forgiven, and we go and forgive them so that we can be the best Christians we can in Christ's eyes.